Hi, everybody. It's Jim Beekjai, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I got an incredible amount of responses from last week's podcast. And one person said, I hope you start out with the conclusion of how your client meeting went, because it's a real cliffhanger and I'm dying to know. So I'm happy to report that it went well. I made my points and I was equally upset, but I did apologize for, you know, being sort of angry, but not at the core of it, but probably more on my delivery. And because they are a good client, because we do have a good relationship, like all things in life, sometimes you have little spats, and the worst thing you can do with a little spat is bury it and let it go from a little spat to a massive boil of resentment. And so I'm proud of myself for taking it to them and talking about it with them. I'm quite happy with how we ended up in the resolution. There was always a danger they could tell me to go stick it and I could tell them to go stick it. But I think that, you know, the sign of true fit and the sign of good relationships, seamless relationships, whether they're professional or personal, is that when these types of things come up, people can appreciate where the other person's coming from. I was talking to one of my kids and we were talking about openness and things like that. You know, the ability to be open is required by both parties. There's always one person that's uncomfortable about being open. So you have to, if you're not that person, you have to create an environment where you're open to having a conversation that might be uncomfortable. And it can't be led off by, well, you know, I can't believe you feel that way, or you shouldn't feel that way. It has to be a recognition of where it's coming from and that this is a difficult conversation for this person to have. And, you know, in particular, I was having dinner last night with some family members. I'm out in Los Angeles and we were talking about kids. And I said, you know, I had sort of promised myself, after lying to my parents my entire life about everything in my life, that I wasn't going to force my kids to do that. And truth and transparency is the basis on which I was going to be a father. And the difficulty with truth and transparency is when people are honest with you, you can't punish them for being honest with you, because the first time you punish them for being honest with you, they'll never be honest with you again. And I don't think that is any different in personal relationships or professional relationships, but I do recognize, you know, and I do recognize that people are afraid to have those conversations. They're afraid of the consequences. The thing about creating an environment where you can be candid is very few people do it, because most uncomfortable conversations, the first reaction of most people is, I'm being attacked, right? Like, this person is attacking me in some sort of way. And so up go the defenses. It's that, take that step back and just try to understand what this person across from you is going through in order to have this conversation with you. And I know many of the people that I coach are in senior positions and, you know, the other side are not. And I try to help them both on both sides by saying, this is going to be a difficult discussion, right? There's nothing wrong with difficult discussions. You can have them, but you've just got to be mindful of the fact that there are these little landmines along the route, and you just have to kind of sidestep them. Doesn't mean you'll be truth and transparent, but both parties need to be aware that there are certain things and flare words. So we have to come to it with a consciousness of creating this safe environment of being honest. Because the reality is, we're both going to be better off. We're both going to be better off clearing the air around something that impacts either party, because as we all know, this stuff festers. I had dinner with a wonderful woman who I've known for a long time the other night, and she's in the process of thinking about changing jobs, and she knows that when she leaves, the people that she works with are going to move heaven and earth to keep her. And the problem is that the problem for her is her boss. And she doesn't want to say, if you move my boss out, I'll stay, because she's terrified of retribution from her boss. She's a scorched the earth type of person, yada, 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 yada. And I was trying to explain to her that you're letting yourself be held prisoner. If you leave with her there, she may still be the same way. She may still make your life miserable. And so you're actually letting her win by you leaving. You know, it sort of reminds me about when I got fired by CIBC, and my boss at the time, John Hunkin, said to me, you know, we can't live up to your expectations or aspirations for the organization. And I said, well, are mine higher than yours? And he goes, oh yeah, way higher. And I said, so why am I leaving and not you? Why aren't you firing yourself for not having enough, you know, sort of vision and direction? And it's funny because, again, it sort of always circles back to fear. Fear, 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 fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of making that decision. Fear, fear, fear. But if you actually strip it away, that fear is making you do things that you shouldn't be doing. Okay, so this life, she could make her life miserable. But she could also make her life miserable if she just leaves. And by the way, she's making her life miserable now. So there's no difference. Maybe this person is just a person that makes everybody's life miserable. So at that point, why don't I at least make sure my life's not miserable anymore and not have any more contact with her? Find a way not to be able to do that. So I can't tell you how important enough it is. And I can't tell you how many times I have this in this conversation. This other young lad that I coach, he works for a company and he's about to get a promotion. And they're sort of like going back and forth. And he's saying, hey, nobody's told me what my new title is. Nobody told me how much I'm going to make. Nobody, you know, da-da-da. And they're sort of going, well, no, we got to get on with it. We got to get on with it. And I'm so proud of him for just standing in and sort of saying, no, we're not getting on with it. I need to have my questions satisfied. It's so exciting for me when I see people stand up for themselves. And even more exciting when I see the look on their face or I hear the sound in their voice of, God, that really worked. You know, that really, really worked. I talked about last week, I talked about that great event on Nicola Wealth, their lead campaign that I spoke at. I had an absolutely phenomenal response from a lot of people. You know, I always talk about storytelling and I love storytelling. And every time I speak at one of these events or every time I work with people, it never ceases to amaze me how many people say, you know, that story you told about Katie, or you know, that story you told about Bill, or, you know, and then they go, that's me. That's exactly me. And it really reinforces to me that there must be something about the way people listen. There must be something about putting them in a comfortable spot to actually become educated, as opposed to sort of, you know, do this and do it this way and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. And it must be because, you know, time in memoriam, storytelling has been the medium to pass on, you know, long before the internet and long before people could write. Storytelling is how we passed on traditions and all kinds of things. So think about that in your dialogue. You know, use examples of what you're trying to convey, because I think what you'll find is, I think you'll find people are sort of much more receptive to that. And then the last thing I want to talk about is my travels, because I'm on the road. I'm in California. God, I love California. I know everybody thinks it's La La Land, and it is a bit of La La Land. And the traffic is horrendous and everything else. But there's a vibe in California that, you know, it's quite something. And so I encourage people to get, you know, back on the road, however comfortably you feel. Being on the road is good for everybody, whether it's vacation travel, whether it's business travel, interacting with people in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, seeing the perspectives. I know I miss that a lot. It was very educational for me to spend time with people and sort of get a local feeling and then kind of pull this thing like a big quilt together to sort of have a look at what's the big picture, what's really, really going on. And I think, you know, economically, I think things are chugging along. I mean, yeah, there's inflation, there's all kinds of things, but nothing seems to be falling off the edge. Inflation prices are absolutely insane. And I think at some point that's gonna take a bite, and it's gonna really start to hurt people, and we'll have to see what goes on from there. In the upcoming week, two things for you to think about, as I always like to leave you with. One is get out and about. It's good for you. You know, it's amazing how quickly you acclimate back to it. And it's good for you, and it's healthy, and human interaction, just all of it is healthy. Now, the second thing is, like I always say, if you got a burning issue, it's really taking up a lot of your mind and, you know, giving you that pit in your stomach, get it out. Because getting the answer, the truth will set you free. You may like it, you may not like it, but at the end of the day, it will set you free. I'm Jim Bakey. The podcast is Be You. The World Will Adjust, and we'll talk to you soon.